Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Saturday, November 2nd, 2019. Great, great show for you today. Co-host is on the way. Ashley Mann is joining me once again for an awesome conversation. And we talk about Crown Jewel, cover that top to bottom, and go into depth on The Fiend and what it meant to his career to win the Universal Championship, to the NXT invasion that happened on SmackDown this past week. Well, really, last night as I record this, all the way to Raw and Becky Lynch and Kairi Sane's match, and the Lana, Rusev, and Lashley debacle, everything that you guys can really think of as far as the big topics in WWE right now, Ashley and I cover, so you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that. But as always, I would like to thank you just for a moment here. Thank you for taking the time out of your day, night, evening, morning to listen to this show. It is it's on the rise. Things are growing, and that's because of you guys. That's because you are pressing play on your iPhone, on your Mac, on your PC, on your Windows phone. Is that still a thing? On your Android, whatever. You guys are the reason that this show is growing. Not me, it's you. You guys are deciding to support this show, and it's much, much appreciated. And I do notice. And guys, also, if you'd like to support the show in other ways, you can head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. And it's an ad-free experience over there. So if you really, really don't want the ads and plugs, guess what? You head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, where I am down to the final days of a special offer I'm running. If you're a new patron and you sign up, you can get yourself on the show. We'll do a mini little podcast. We'll discuss wrestling. And normally that's a top tier option for the patrons. But for this special, if you're a new patron, you get started for $1 and get on the show. And I think that's a pretty cool deal. And I'd love to honestly have you guys on the show because I want new voices. I want new opinions. I want you to chime in with what you think and talk to new people. So head on over to Patreon. If you're an existing patron, all you have to do is just upgrade to any other tier and you can come on the show as well if you're interested. Obviously optional. I'm not going to force you to. I'm not going to say, hey, you signed up, we need to talk. I mean, it's really up to you. But that is an option for new patrons and existing as well. Guys, again, thank you so much for joining me. You can head on over to the website. That's still a thing at WWEpodcast.com. You can rate and review me on Apple Podcasts, which, boy, have I been receiving some real interesting ones lately. If you have a moment and you like to read some dirt, well, head on over to Apple Podcasts and look at the reviews. Some reviews people are giving me, they're just stellar. Thank you. Honestly, even those people, look, if you're rating me, whatever, I mean, it still helps me in the rating. So even if you really, really, really don't like me or whatever, it still is supporting the show. So I say thank you in kind of a weird way. But that is a great way to honestly support the show, too, is just head on over there. And I do notice it and I do appreciate that as well. So I'm going to bring Ashley on in just a minute. But first, we're taking a quick break. And then on the other side, we're going to get right to Ashley and myself and our discussion that lasted well over an hour. Again, we cover Raw. We cover SmackDown from Friday, the big NXT invasion, and, of course, the Crown Jewel pay-per-view, which, honestly, I think it was better than last year, that's for sure. And The Fiend winning the Universal Championship, of course, we cover that. And Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury and Brock Lesnar tapping out Cain Velasquez. Again, you name it, we talked about it. And again, if you'd like to get your question on the show, hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Or you can also email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And that's also where I take questions. So, all right, guys, again, quick word from the sponsor, and then we're going to get right to the conversation with Ashley. So stay right here.
Are you interested in the self-defense and fitness community? You want to hear from some of the baddest people on the planet? Tune into The John Bartolo Show, available on iTunes and anywhere podcasts are heard. The John Bartolo Show has a 5-star rating on iTunes and includes a wide range of guests from the UFC and self-defense community. Tune into The John Bartolo Show and let them know who sent you.
It's Saturday night, guys. That means that I have a co-host with me. Ashley joins me this week, and a crazy week to do so because there is not just Raw and SmackDown that we can discuss. There's also NXT's invasion of SmackDown that we can discuss, and the Crown Jewel pay-per-view that had more than one significant outcome, none more than Bray Wyatt's win of the Universal Championship, which I would love to start off with. But before I do that, Ashley, welcome back to the show. Always great to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back. And man, we have a stacked week to talk about. It's insane. It feels like Monday was like a month ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's not like I actually had to go back just before we started talking. And I'm like, wait, what the heck happened on Monday Night Raw?
Right.
Like,
same.
Just because everything's lumped together. And yeah, it feels like Monday Night Raw was forever. So yeah, it's crazy how that happens. And so what I would like to start off with, though, well, honestly, before we get into the pay-per-view, because I don't know if I remembered last time, let everyone know, because you and some of your friends have a podcast that you do, and I want to make sure that I give you a moment to let everyone know where they can find you and what it's about and anything else you want to mention about it.
Oh, yeah, right on. Thank you so much. It's called Wrestle Rewind. We get together every Thursday at 8:30. To talk about everything that's been going on. I'm sure that's probably going to be changing sometime soon just with, you know, Friday Night SmackDown. So the lineup and the time may change. But yeah, as of right now, every Thursday, 8:30, you can watch us live on Facebook or you can listen to the podcast immediately afterwards on Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. Yeah, so definitely check us out and feel free to let me know what you think, good, bad, whatever. Definitely open to hear any suggestions or feedback. So definitely check it out.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Very good. So one thing I wanted to – the first thing I got to talk to you about, I have to ask you, what do you think about The Fiend winning the Universal Championship? But I won't even get into more detail and just leave it open to you.
Wow. So I think with the situation and the circumstances surrounding it, I think he had to win the title, my opinion at least. I think they had to just pull the trigger on him and just go full-fledged with him now, whatever that ends up looking like. It's kind of intriguing to see, honestly, because this is one champion that we literally have no idea how it's going to play out. So I'm very curious to see how that happens. And kind of tying into SmackDown a little bit, we know that he's going to remain on SmackDown, at least as of last night's show, and that Brock is most likely going to Raw. So that officially ends his feud with Seth, which I'm super thankful for. But man, that visual, seeing him with the championship, I was just so happy for him. And I'm sure he's got to be super emotional just as a human being, just because of all the work and the time and the effort that he's put into this character and just this resurgence of him, in his career. I'm just so happy for him in so many different levels. And I'm super happy and excited for us as fans to see how this plays out and who he feuds with and what that even looks like going forward. Because it's interesting too, because he kicked out of I don't even know how many stomps and finishers from Seth Rollins and all this like impossible things. So it's kind of crazy to think like how a match with him is going to play out in the future. And that's the only negative thing I could think of as of right now, at least, just with him being so powerful and so strong against Seth, like who beats him and how do they beat him in a normal match rather. So
yeah,
definitely curious to see,
man. That's the one thing. I'll start off with just that small critique. And then I got a whole lot of positive to talk about is just that they made The Fiend so powerful in this crazy world of professional wrestling that we all know is just entertainment. We all understand that, of course. But,
right.
I mean, the fact of the matter is when you have somebody that's so far out there, outside the realm of believability, it takes you out of the moment. Even as intriguing as a character as The Fiend has been, Hell in a Cell did so much damage to Seth, I think, did a lot of damage to The Fiend. And I think that, as you said, this was the only option that WWE had. They had no choice but to give the belt to The Fiend. And honestly, I'm not too sad about it either. The reason is because, look, Seth has been a good champion. He's been okay, but let's face it, he hasn't been that interesting as a Universal Champion. And I don't know if I would put a lot of the blame on Seth, but ever since he really broke up with the Authority, or really the Authority broke up with him, and people forget that, and then the lack of chemistry with Becky Lynch that I think did further damage, and just a lot of the things he's done, burning down the Firefly Funhouse, the beloved Firefly Funhouse that people love. I mean, you could go down the line, and it's just eating away, eating away, eating away, and not that people are booing him, they're just kind of like, eh, you know, like, I think the Fiend was the only choice to make here, and not seeing the belt around Seth makes things infinitely more interesting. And had the Fiend been hotter than he is now, meaning if Hell in a Cell disaster never happened, this could be even more impactful, because this to me is damage control, but also the right choice.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And just kind of not shifting to Seth quite yet, for at least the rest of my take on Bray Wyatt, at least. I'm just so happy for him, like I said, for him to finally win the title. And I'm just so curious to see what they end up doing, because especially with Survivor Series right around the corner, are they going to have him face off against Brock Lesnar or against Adam Cole, which is just kind of crazy to even think about. But, you know, especially with what we saw on Friday, they're hyping it up. You know, all the brands are against each other. Does the Fiend play into this? I would assume he has to now, being the champion, whereas before, obviously, he wouldn't necessarily need to be involved. But do we see a one-on-one match with him versus Brock Lesnar already, or do we see a one-on-one with him and Adam Cole, or is it a triple threat? So I think that's going to be pretty interesting to see, too, how they go about this, because Brock Lesnar is kind of feuding and shifting more towards a Rey Mysterio angle now, and Adam Cole, of course, has about three different angles going on, at least in NXT. So the Fiend is the only one right now kind of without a direct direction. Of course, it did just happen, so that it's obviously understandable. But it's just curious to see what he ends up doing at Survivor Series and here on out.
It's going to be very interesting. And that whole plane delay saga that some people don't believe was actually a plane delay, and there was some malicious intent there, and there's rumors circulating everywhere that, hey, it just wasn't a equipment malfunction on the plane. And so I don't want to get too deep into that, because it's all just kind of hearsay. But regardless of the fact is that, yeah, the Fiend was not there on SmackDown, of which he was supposed to be in the Miz TV segment. And that would have been very interesting to me as to exactly how he would have spoken, considering he doesn't really speak as the Fiend. I don't know what he would have done, but yeah, I think at that point we probably would have gotten a hint as to who he's going to be facing at Survivor Series. But I don't know. I'm very curious as to how they manage him as champion, whether, you know, it is Adam Cole or, you know, as you said, he's got so many other things going on. I don't know how they're going to fit this into his you know, storyline arc. But I think that the Fiend as Universal Champion is something that WWE needed. The ratings showed it. I looked at some of the stats before we came on, and WWE went from 888,000 viewers to 2.6 million viewers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but we have to remember two things. This kind of comes with an asterisk. Number one, the World Series was on last week. And number two, they were also on FS1. They weren't on the typical Fox broadcast network. So there is a little bit of an asterisk there. Like, yeah, great job with the jump. But, you know, by the way, you know, so there are some things that, you know, but it is positive overall. I mean, like, that is a significant jump to make from week to week. And I think part of it is attributable to the NXT invasion. And we'll definitely talk about that. But kind of, I guess, wrapping up the Crown Jewel pay-per-view as far as Bray and Seth go, I thought the match itself was better laid out than Hell in a Cell was. I still am torn on the red lighting during the matches. At times I find it intriguing for camera angles and it's spooky and all that. But at other times I'm just saying, like, why this is hurting my eyes. I want to see what this match looks like, you know, in color, in you know, the full spectrum of colors. I don't need to see just the red light. So I'm kind of torn on how I feel about that red light. But just again, on that match itself, it was physical. I'm not enjoying the fact that he is just so superhuman that he can kick out of anything. You know, you could give him 1,000 finishers and he just pops up. At some point, they're going to have to figure out, what is the Fiend's weakness? Maybe that's the hook, right? And when you're watching, right, you're watching Freddy Krueger, you're watch, you know, Friday the 13th with Jason and all that. What is the, what's the weakness? What's his kryptonite? And maybe that's the hook to the whole Fiend character.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think that, is what the focus is going to be going forward. Just in one last thing before we move on, I just kind of agree with you 100%. I just wish they would have showed his dominance in this match, and obviously in the first, in the Hell in a Cell match as well, if not more so there. But I just wish they would have showed his dominance more, but protected him and not allowed him to take so much damage and so many finishers. Just if you want him to be this beast, to, sorry to steal Brock Lesnar's term, but to be this beast and this creature and this indestructible thing, just seeing him even being able to get to that point to withstand that damage and to get down for, what was it, like 8 or 9 like stomps from Crown Jewel, it's just, that just kind of like takes me out of it a little bit, because it's just like, all right, like, we get it. Like, for me personally, I don't like seeing him beat down so much. If I would love to just see him be super dominant and not really take that much offense. So we'll see.
Yeah. And it also diminishes Seth's finisher moving forward.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is, and this is kind of a microcosm of a large issue in WWE and professional wrestling in general, is there are way, way, way too many kickouts of finishers. I mean, in general, but I mean, this takes it to the extreme. And yeah, so when you take that overarching theme that is just running through all professional wrestling, that kickouts of finishers are common, which is, to me, something that should happen at occasionally at a large pay-per-view or maybe at WrestleMania. I think WWE needs to re-educate their audience to, hey, finishers are exactly that, a finisher. But when you take it to the extreme, like Seth and Bray did, you kind of said it. I mean, I don't need to be educated and re-educated, rather, that Seth's stomp is, it's kind of like a clothesline. Yeah, they'll get back up. You know, I don't need to feel like that. And the stomp was something that put his opponent down the first try, and when he had to use 3 to put Brock Lesnar down, you were like, oh my God. And then he had to use, what, right, like 6 for Braun Strowman. You're like, oh my God. And now it's, you know, infinity with the Fiend. And it's just, it's making it feel like not a finish. And it's really, it's taking away from his finishing maneuver. And that's what you build up to. That's how you end the match. And I don't like that. So again, that's just, it's a critique, but I think it's a fair one.
Yeah, and I think the last thing about this, just to kind of zero in on Seth and what happens with him going forward, I hope they allow him to just take a breather. I think, not for nothing, I think he deserves a break and just a vacation or whatever you want to call it, just some downtime for himself as a human being and his character. I think he is one of those guys that would just benefit for maybe like a month or two, if you don't want it to be long term. Just not even have him show up on Raw. Just, they can announce it. Obviously, they'll have to. Or they can mention it if they would like. But, you know, just allow Seth some time. I think his characters need it. I think we as fans need it, and we need to miss Seth. We just need him to go away for one. Nothing against him. I just think he was put in just a crappy situation these past, what, 6-7 months or so. So I hope he gets some time off that he deserves.
I think that's exactly what will reinvigorate and recharge his batteries and reinvigorate the character, I was going to say. I think that's exactly what he needs, is he just kind of disappears for a while. You know, you're like, you know, where you're watching Raw one night and you're like, hey, where's Seth? We haven't seen him in a while, you know, and get him out of the minds of fans. And, you know, as Vince McMahon likes to say, wrestling fans had the memory of, you know, a goldfish, right? Like, he thinks that people really think that, you know, oh, well, people don't remember that. Well, I think this could work to Seth's benefit if that in fact is true, that we have short memories. And I think part of the reason we have short memories is because there's so much damn content that it's impossible to remember everything that happens.
Right.
But yeah, if they do that, that's exactly what he needs. Take a month, take 2 months off, get yourself ready for WrestleMania season, because it's right around the corner. Mm-hmm. That's what he needs. I don't need him going back after the
Universal Championship. To be a surprise entrant in the Rumble.
Yes,
the Rumble.
That's exactly what he needs. And from what I understand and what I'm seeing is that the actual human being of Seth Rollins, like, he is getting really affected by the crowd reactions, saying, you know, this is what the people wanted me to be. And then
it's not for nothing. Everything that he said is spot on, and it's not his fault. I feel like WWE has just kind of treated him like Roman Reigns, and we just like forced him down our throats and in ways that they didn't have to. Like, his victory at WrestleMania could have been like an organic thing. Yes, it could have played out and he still could have been in a different angle with someone else or back with Brock Lesnar and gone back that route. But I just think maybe the thing with Becky Lynch and then, of course, the thing with The Fiend and just like a few things that happened, of course, like outside of, you know, the character that we see on TV, like within Twitter and everything like that. I just feel like he's probably burnt out and I can't fault him for that. It's not anything negative against him. He just needs a break.
Yes. No, there's no question about it. This will do wonders for his career, his mental state of mind, which apparently is not great, and rightfully so. And, you know, I can't put all the blame on Seth. A lot of the booking is to blame, too. It's just a number of factors that all just point to, hey, buddy, take some time off. Take a month. Take 2 months. Whatever. As you said, Royal Rumble would be a perfect time. That's a perfect amount of time. It's 2 months away, a little over two. To get yourself right, get the fans to, you know, miss you and wonder where you are and do what Sasha Banks did, for God's sakes, not that long. I mean, she was gone for, 4 months? But take that kind of a break of soul searching or whatever. I know he's engaged to Becky, but there is something to be said for that. So, all right, yeah, I agree. But moving on, I mean, my God, there was so much else that happened in Crown Jewel. I guess I'll just ask you, I mean, what did you think of a couple things? Because I kind of lumped these matches together because to me they're both just kind of spectacle matches, is Brock and Cain Velasquez and Braun and Tyson Fury.
I think the first thing that stood out to me was, like, you really saw Brock's star power when his music hit and he came out. Like, granted, it was the first wrestler that they saw of the night, but man, like, that crowd just ate him up. And it's so crazy to see, like, especially when they go overseas to places like this. I get fascinated to see, like, how other fans in different countries react in different parts of the world, you know, because we, of course, you know, may love or hate Brock Lesnar over here, but I think you really get a true feeling of if someone is a real star or not when they go overseas, because you see, like, a Brock Lesnar get a huge reaction, like a Randy Orton and just, like, guys like that. So that was, like, the first thing that really stood out to me. And then, man, I did not expect it to be a two-minute match and for Kane to tap out. I don't really know what I expected from this match. I definitely didn't think that Kane was going to win the title. But, man, I didn't expect him to submit right off the bat in 2 minutes, no less. So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, that definitely did. I would say that I'm not surprised by the length of the match, though. I mean, when you look back at the average over-under of Brock Lesnar matches, I mean, you're not going over 3-4 minutes. So
yeah, that's true.
I kind of had a feeling this would be short, and to be honest, it probably plays to the idea that it hides Cain Velasquez's weaknesses at this point, a very limited in-ring competition in front of a live audience, especially of that size. So with that short of a match and Brock doing, the ring general deal and taking most of the match and guiding Kane, I think that is what exactly Cain Velasquez needed, was somebody that is a ring general that it's a short match, so you're not exposed and your weaknesses come out and just have him lose. I mean, I don't know what to make of the loss. I mean, I'm sure Kane is like, yeah, whatever. Look, I actually beat you in real life, so we'll stage a loss for me. I mean, I'm sure he honestly didn't care that much. He's getting a pretty hefty payday. And I always was thinking, though, when I'm watching that match, I'm like, hey, you know, is there still some kind of are there going to be any real shots here? Because there was some true bad blood for a while, and Brock has never forgotten that of that night. And I remember that fight. And like, so I was thinking, you know, that in my mind, I'm looking and I'm like, is anything real happening here? I was watching that with a keen eye, not necessarily.
Same.
Know, yeah. Just I'm like, oh, who's is somebody going to actually
hoping,
throw
like,
one?
Like, oh, was that a little stiff? Was that stiff?
Yeah. I was waiting. But you know, Kane loses, and I think Kane just kind of goes away, as he probably should. I really don't have any interest in seeing Cain Velasquez here win any kind of championship, be involved in WWE in any kind of, you know, semi-regular basis. I just don't. I mean, as a special attraction at WrestleMania, maybe, but I don't need to see him in the ring on a daily basis. But I guess from what I'm reading, hey, they signed him to some kind of multi-year deal, and maybe that's, you know, 3 matches over 3 years. Who knows? But Brock Lesnar winning, absolutely the only decision that WWE could make.
I think,
I mean, as I said so many times, that if Kane was to win that, I mean, this would have been the most explicitly rated podcast of all time. So I think that that was the only choice that they could make. I mean, could you imagine Kane as WWE champion? It just
No, not at all. Not right now.
Well, he
maybe
either.
A few years. No. Maybe if he improves drastically, like
Well, I think the worst part about it is, why did it have to be for the championship? What is
right?
Done?
That was my thing. Like that was the thing that just took me over the edge. Like there's no need for it to be a title shot. No need.
No, it could just be a grudge match, and I'm totally fine with that. The backstory is enough for me. I don't need to throw the belt into it. And
yeah.
Vince is like, we need to make this as big as we can. No, that actually takes away from it. You know, and it actually devalues the belt because you're just saying, again, all you have to do is attack a champion and you get a championship match. Mm-hmm. It's just the same formula. So, but moving on to Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman, I mean, I'll give my quick thoughts on it. I think, to be totally honest, that I think Tyson Fury did better than I thought he would, even though he was clearly green inside the ring. I mean, there was times where, you're just looking at him and saying, this guy's not very experienced, but this is his first time in front of a live audience of especially this size. I have to say he did more, quote, wrestling moves than I thought he would, considering he's a boxer. I think that finish of having Tyson Fury win, while the win isn't surprising because WWE has their age-old policy of bring a celebrity in, make the wrestlers look like fools, and the celebrity goes away. That's just what they do. So I knew Braun was going to lose. If he's going to lose, that would be the only way to make him lose without having Braun, you know, lose any steam. I thought the match itself was okay. I mean, it was okay. There was a lot of no-selling by Tyson Fury, which I didn't like. But, hey, it could have been a lot worse, put it that way.
I'm pretty much 100% with you there, too. I favored this one much more than the Brock and Kane match. And I was very surprised because going in, I was, I guess, more so looking forward to Brock's match compared to this one. But this one really surprised me. Like you said, it wasn't anything that was, you know, beautiful to say the least, but Tyson did pretty well, and you could tell that he was out there having fun, and I think that really said a lot. I'm sure the paycheck that he got for it, you know, definitely helped with his feelings there, but he definitely put in the work. You could tell he definitely tried to go out there and do the best he could with the amount of time that he had. And I'm sure the traveling and just the different environment, and to make your debut in such a setting like that, is pretty remarkable and is pretty cool to see. And honestly, the ending, I was not thrilled that Strowman lost. I figured he was going to. And I was kind of concerned with how he was going to take that loss. And it was kind of creative. At least it wasn't like a pure knockout in the center of the ring type thing. At least, you know, he was kind of showing some life there at the end. But I think the only thing that really made me cringe the most was how quickly Tyson Fury got up after Strowman hit him with his finisher after the match. Like the second Strowman left the ring, like Tyson just jumped up and, you know, just celebrated and cheered. And, you know, that's probably just being new and nerves or whatever it was, but that just kind of killed it for me there.
That's exactly what I was saying when I said he was no selling. Like that, yeah, when he did that, he hit the power slam, and I'm saying, okay, well at least Braun got a little bit of the
heat back.
Like, yeah. So you know he gained a little bit back here, even though he lost by count out. But yeah, he hit his running power slam, and boom, he popped up like he was the Undertaker. He even did the Undertaker didn't he?
Yeah, I think that was earlier in the match, but yeah, he did do that at one point. And I think they referenced it on commentary too.
Mentioning
that he was a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did it. But so again, yeah, that is one thing I would say. How are you just popping up? You know, but again,
yeah.
Outside of that, I can't really get on this match too much because it's exactly what I thought, and it's actually a little bit better than what I thought it probably was going to be. Does that mean I want to see this again? No. This does not mean that I need to see Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury again. Do I think we will? Maybe. They left it open. Maybe it's a WrestleMania rematch, or I don't know. But to be honest, I don't know how Braun keeps getting put in these really, really weird matches with celebrities and kids and all this stuff that I don't know. They just have this thing with Braun that they just throw him all these awkward matches in with. But I don't know. Overall, the match was okay. It wasn't eye-rolling that I thought it would be. And sometimes you see celebrities come in, and it's almost embarrassing. I mean, sometimes it's just eye-rolling, and you can tell they aren't taking it seriously, so it takes the whole thing out. So, yeah, this was all right. But I want to ask you two more things about this pay-per-view. Mansoor beating Cesaro and the crowd losing their minds for this. I have some pretty interesting thoughts. What about you?
Are you interested in the self-defense and fitness community? You want to hear from some of the baddest people on the planet? Tune into The John Bartolo Show, available on iTunes and anywhere podcasts are heard. The John Bartolo Show has a 5-star rating on iTunes and includes a wide range of guests from the UFC and self-defense community. Tune into The John Bartolo Show and let them know who sent you.
You know, I have pretty mixed feelings on this. I think it was a very, good match. I mean, I think obviously Cesaro plays a huge part in that, but I think Mansoor held up his own and he definitely showed promise and potential. But I can't get over the fact that Cesaro is turning into being like a jobber guy, like where the guy that they go to kind of like a Dolph Ziggler, like, they need someone to go out there and put on a good match and sell for someone but be believable. And, you know, you always have in the back of your mind that maybe he can pull out the win, but he never normally does. And I have so much more hope for Cesaro. Like, I feel like he could really be a star. I just think if he had the right mouthpiece, like, that would just be, like, perfect for him. So it just kind of kills it for me with that. But, it was what it was. Like, I was happy for the guy, to get that win in his home country. And I'm sure that really meant a lot, and you could tell. And he did a pretty decent promo there at the end. But, it is what it is. Like, I guess I don't – I think he's been in NXT a few times, but I haven't really – you don't really hear much about him until they go back to Saudi Arabia. So is it just going to be that type of thing each time they go over there? He either wins, like, a big match or a singles match, or it's just – I don't know. It is what it is.
So Mansoor, yeah, I can't disagree with what you said. I'm thinking that Mansoor is probably only going to be showing his face on a national level when it gets to the pay-per-view of Crown Jewel, or when they ever do maybe the Greatest Royal Rumble, whatever they're going to do again. Yeah. I don't know. But my more interesting, or my question would be, what kind of reaction does he get in the States? Because that's your core foundation. Mm-hmm. That's your core fan base. So yeah, he gets cheered in his home country, of course. But that doesn't really mean a whole lot when you get back to the States and, town after town after town goes, who's this guy? You don't want that. So that's the more important piece, is the follow-up for Mansoor. I like him in the ring. I thought this match was very, very good. I was very high on the match itself. Cesaro, of course, always holding up his end, being the trooper, taking the fall. Mansoor, I will say, has got some really nice hair. I mean, like, this guy,
he
like,
does.
Just like, seriously, like, look at his hair. It's better than, like, Roman's. It's better than Drew McIntyre's. This guy has
so much volume
to
it. Yeah. I'm so jealous.
It's unbelievable. I mean, like, I have zero hair, and I'm looking at this guy, like, I'm like, tear in my eye, And so, like, this guy, I just looking at it, and I was so distracted by his hair in the after match promo. It's just,
and
this
that's
guy.
That says it right there. Like, after this hard fought match, this long match with Cesaro, and who knows what the temperature was, and his hair is still beautiful.
It's
what?
Yeah, it's like I'm watching a Dove commercial.
It's like, whatever, just get out of here, dude.
Yeah, the wind is flowing in his hair, and his it was very distracting because it's so nice. But as far as the win goes, yeah, I expected him, and I actually predicted Cesaro, and then realizing, oh yeah, Mansoor, this is his home country, he probably shouldn't have, but. Yeah, I could do without the "you can do anything" type of promo that is just, what Shorty G is now doing. Don't get me started on that. All this kind of stuff that people are just these 1980s take your vitamins, say your prayers, and be good guys and gals promos make me, my stomach turn. I'm not a fan of it. It's just so transparently, just pandering. I hate it. So that kind of thing, and everyone went, yay, you're from my home country, so we're going to cheer you, and that's the only reason why. Whatever. I mean, they got to have this feel good kind of win, and that's what he is probably going to be. Superman when it comes to matches in Saudi Arabia, that's just what he's going to be. So the other match I wanted to talk to you about, of course, is the Natalya Lacey Evans first ever women's match in Saudi Arabia that people are, all crazy about and are rightfully so. It was a big moment, all that kind of stuff. So I wanted your take on that.
Yeah, it's honestly everything going into these events that we're going to have once or twice a year for however long, the next 8 years or so. For me personally, like, I kind of have to look at it glass half full going forward. Do I think they should have even put the glass on the table, meaning getting into a deal like this? Probably not. But they did. So we just kind of have to look for the positives now. And yeah, a lot of people are saying this should have happened night one, like the first show over there. And honestly, yeah, probably it should have. But we don't know the circumstances that went into it. We don't know why it didn't. We don't know why it didn't happen on the second one. But it happened. So I think we just have to celebrate it. Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with how they had to dress. But at the same token, I think just the fact that they were able to go out there and put on a pretty decent match. I mean, it wasn't the best match that they've had together. But I couldn't even imagine the nerves that they had and just maybe the terror or the fear or just probably 1,000 emotions all wrapped into one, and then having to actually carry through the match and being, you know, just think of how Natalya probably felt like having to carry the match. And Lacey has improved. I mean, she's still green, but she has improved a lot. So I'm so happy for them, and I'm happy that WWE finally was able to put this match on. I'm curious to see if this becomes a routine thing for each show. But I'm just happy for the moment. Everything else aside, because of course we could have a million different side conversations about, you know, the show itself and everything else. But I think WWE finally did something right here and finally was able to do something right. So I think we just have to celebrate it and just move on, you know?
Yeah. The thing is, this could easily and quickly turn into a political conversation. Like, I mean, this whole thing.
Saudi Arabia. Because it's so touchy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm trying to keep it very focused on wrestling. I mean, right. So I will say from the wrestling perspective, wrestling only, and it's very difficult to separate the politics from this, but wrestling only, I actually got like emotional watching Lacey and Natalya hug after the match. Like yeah. I was watching, yeah, I mean, like, cause that was real emotion. That wasn't planned. That wasn't contrived. That, you know, that was real emotion from both of those ladies. And so that, I mean, when you see that, as a human being, you can tell when it's contrived or planned or when it actually happens organically. And it was one of those moments that you're just like, man, that, you know, that's awesome. I feel, you know, for these two ladies, this is an awesome moment. I think what happened there, I mean, you saw the audience, men, women, children, whatever, you know, standing in awe of this crazy moment for Saudi Arabia, the first time ever. Yeah, their attire, it was what it was. I'm not even going to go there. But they were able to compete, and mm-hmm. I'm happy for them. And it, you know, I'm sure that there will be probably a match per pay-per-view over there. I don't know if there's like, hey, you guys can only have one women's match per pay-per-view. I don't know. I don't know the politics of it. I'm sure that they are in constant contact with the government over there. You know, you can make an argument. Is this political or is this propaganda? Maybe you can make an argument this is propaganda, and that the fact that we're celebrating this in 2019 when it should have happened, oh, I don't know, 100 years ago. I mean,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but like whenever I hear that, I'm like, yeah, but this, we're not talking about a women's wrestling match happening in America. We're talking about a match happening in a completely different country that we have no control over their say so. Like, we, yeah, this should have happened 50 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. Yeah, it should have, but we as Americans have no say so at all over what happens in a different country. So that's, you can't even use that, you know?
No, but
we can barely control what happens here, let alone a different company or a different country.
Nope,
so,
totally agree. I would say, though, that WWE, as a American bred company, does have the choice whether or not to go into this 10-year contract with a company that, you know, value women in the way that America does, and yet you're having a women's revolution and then do a contract, a 10-year contract with a government that is corrupt and had the slaying of the journalists last year. And then this, I mean, so again, this is how easily you slip into the politics of it. But again, I'm trying to, let's go back to the wrestling of it, because it's so easy. It's tough. So again, I'm happy for the women, and I just want to move on from it because it's a little bit sticky. So, alrighty. But one last thing I need to talk about the pay-per-view, AJ Styles and Humberto Carrillo. I mean, look, Umberto's going to be right now. He is the guy that's trying to get the rub from everybody. He's being booked as the guy that's going to hang. He'll be there. He'll put up a fight. And as the announcers always like to say, take his opponent to the limit, even though that's not really what happens. and have him come seemingly close, put up a fight, have a good performance, all that, and show what he can do in the ring against top guys. Never quite be there, but nor should he. Yet, and have him just come up short, and that's fine. That's fine with me. And so I'm fine with, I will say, again, I'm not really complaining. I think that this is the right formula. I like what WWE is doing here because they are in the business of building stars, and I'm totally fine with them trying to build new stars. People complain, oh, who's this guy? I don't know what this is. I'm not watching. I don't know who this is. Well, somebody has to start somewhere all the time. Like, even The Rock had to start at the bottom when you go, who's this? Stone Cold. Doesn't matter. Stars are born in these kinds of storylines where you have them starting out, hey, I can hang with you, but I can't quite get there. So I'm totally cool with this formula. I like where Humberto Carrillo's at, and AJ Styles keeping the championship, keeping the United States Championship, totally the way to go, and especially with his the OC winning the tag team Best in the World Tag Team Cup. So, look, they held all the gold on Thursday. I want to say Sunday night. On Thursday night in Saudi Arabia. So I was fine with it.
Yeah, and I think real quick, I think the OC, they're the perfect act in a sense that kind of like a Baron Corbin where I can just picture them coming out on Raw just carrying that trophy. Just every time they come out and I'm just taking that around, having it in promos. Like I could see them like really like hamming it up if they want to, you know, address it after Thursday. Or it could just be like when Braun Strowman won that green title. I forget what the purpose of it was or the significance, but he won that green title and then you never saw it again. So it could just be something like that. But I could totally see the OC just bragging about it, kind of like a King Corbin type thing. But yeah, and I think Humberto Carrillo, I think Raw going forward, especially with the 3-hour format of it, I think it's going to be a show that focuses on developing younger talent. And I think Humberto is going to be one of those guys. I could definitely see him getting into maybe a best of series or something to that effect, or that type of like a Ricochet or something like that. I could just definitely see him going forward and just having really good, solid matches, you know, 10, 15 minute matches with just a number of guys. And so I'm hopeful for him going forward. There's just something about him. Like you're just drawn to like him for some weird reason. At least I am. So I'm curious to see what happens with him.
He's easily likable. That's the thing. I mean, you look at this
guy. I think it's those dimples too.
Yeah.
You know?
And he looks so young.
He looks like a baby face.
Yeah. Like literally he's a baby face. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
And so Humberto Carrillo is a guy that he's easily likable. You know, he's got the intangibles that you can't teach. I like what they're doing, as you said, with the 3-hour format and the split rosters, although we'll see how long that lasts and with Survivor Series. And I want to talk about that in a minute, too. But I like what they're doing. I'm fine with it. And, you know, as you said, this is a guy that is there for a reason. He's there to fill time. But also WWE and Vince McMahon apparently is very high on this guy. And we've seen evidence of that over the last couple of weeks in the ring with top guys. And having the OC win. Look, having the OC win that tournament, King of the Ring, there are certain things that are just strictly made for heels. And you know that it's nothing more than bragging rights. So when nothing truly is on the line other than, hey, I can claim I beat you, guess who's going to win? It's going to be heel 9 times out of 10. Because you can't have a babyface going around bragging about something that in the back of your mind you're saying, but they didn't really win anything. Like, I mean, they're carrying around this trophy that's like a Little League trophy that honestly doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, that's exactly what this is. But when you grip it to a heel, they can be obnoxious with it. They can make way more out of it than a babyface can. So that kind of stuff with Best in the World, look what Shane did with it. I mean, so there's a lot you can do with it. And that's perfect for a heel. So, but moving on here, I want to talk to you a little bit about, because I don't think we've talked about this yet, is Lana Rusev and Lashley. I need to ask your opinion on this. And honestly, I will preface this by saying, I don't think this is the worst thing Vince McMahon's ever done, but it's certainly not the best. What do you think?
Oh my gosh, you know, and it's so funny you say that, because that's what I said to one of my friends when we were talking about the same thing. I was like, you know, am I like, I'm not going to say like I'm excited that it's happening and like it's the best storyline or the storyline I would have imagined these two guys being in, but I don't know what it is and I don't know how I feel admitting this, but for some reason I'm like mildly like entertained by this and like intrigued to see how this plays out. I'm happy that we finally get to see like true aggression from Rusev recently. So that just because now, you know, like just standing there and just watching things happen, like this guy make out with your wife, like in front of like millions of people. Like, it's just come on. Like, it gets to a point where, you know, as a human being, like you're going to get angry. Like, I was angry. Like, go up there and like punch the crap out of him, dude. Like, that's your wife. Like, regardless of whatever's going on, like she's still your wife. So I'm happy he's finally like getting physical. And you know, and that's the thing, like it's not the worst thing that Vince McMahon has ever done. Like, you know, there's so many things, like we have the Katie Vick thing, we have Mae Young giving birth to a hand, so there's just like so many things. So I don't know, you know, it is what it is. I think it's kind of like the 24/7 title to me, in the sense that it's just trying to, it gives you that just like whatever type of segment, and just kind of like a not comedic to the point of the 24/7 title level, but just something that, you know, it doesn't have to be so serious, whether you agree with it or not for their respective characters. Like I said, I probably would not be doing anything like this with them, but, you know, at least they're doing something, you know, at least they're on TV now. So yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things.
It's so awkward. I mean,
yeah,
it's weird to watch. I'm tired of watching Lashley and Lana make out. But at the yeah. same time, I am rooting for Rusev, but I'm also as a viewer, I'm trying to get behind Rusev, but when he's not standing up for himself, and he's up until this week, of course, but he's just kind of standing there and just, you know, watching his wife make out with them and going, well, Lana, I'll take you back. Come to your senses, blah, blah, blah. And Lashley brainwashed you, but yet you're a fully grown woman who can make your own damn decisions. I mean, it made Rusev kind of look like a fool for a couple of weeks.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, dude, like if you don't care and you're just going to kowtow to her and let her do what she wants, and, you know, whenever she's ready, she'll come back to you. I mean, come on, bro. Like, I mean, that kind of stuff made me go just totally turned off from Rusev. But this week did some repair. It did, you know, it definitely did a little bit of repair for me. And for it to be the main event of Raw was a little shocking. So the positioning of this was very interesting, having it be the very last segment of the show. But it's, as I said, it's certainly not the worst thing Vince has ever done. As you said, Katie Vick, or maybe when, you know, Vince defeated God and Shawn Michaels, or when he faked his own death in the limo, or when Hornswoggle was revealed to be his bastard son. I mean, like, you go down the list of the things
There's so many things.
That's why when you have something like this, it's kind of like, okay, fine. Like, let's just see where it goes. I mean, I'm not super emotionally invested in it, but I guess I'm like, all right, well, you got me a little bit back on board this week. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's just one of those things. I'm just happy they're at least, I guess, doing something for now. And Rusev looks great. He's in great shape. So, you know.
He does. And this is the most relevant Bobby Lashley's ever been in his WWE career.
Right.
Without for Bobby Lashley, rush, this is WrestleMania.
Like, exactly. Like, Bobby's showing personality. Like, he's kind of believable. Like, you don't like this guy. He's a jerk. Like, he, you know, like, he's making out with this dude's wife right in front of him. So, like, you know, there's finally a true reason to feel something for Bobby Lashley in WWE world, of course. So I'm, you know, it's fine. I'm ready for them to kind of move on and kind of like get to the point, like within like a week or two, they wrap it up. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden they just started making it. Maybe I would have maybe liked it better if they just started to slowly hint at it after a match. You know, she kind of
eye contact
with Lashley. Oh, it's just like 0 to 100, no explanation. I'm like, what? I mean, I would have liked a little bit of a build instead of just, oh yeah, by the way, here you go.
Because they could have totally built this up.
Oh, easily.
Easily, like 2 months, easily, you know, have one outside, and like you said, like Ian Lashley, or like have them bump into each other backstage. There's just so many different things, interact on social media, like they could have built this up, and then finally, you know, like maybe have people like mention to Rusev, like, hey, you know, have you, you know, Lana's kind of looking at him, or, you know, just like, there's just so many things they could have done differently with it.
And furthermore, I mean, I'm not advocating for a Lana and Rusev match, but, you know, Lana is the one to blame here, not Rusev.
I mean, not
Lashley, because Lana is the one deciding who's the married one to have an affair on national television week after week after week. You know, she's not being physically abused by Lashley. Like, there's nothing there other than, hey, like, I think you're attractive, you think I'm attractive, let's go, you know, do the deed. I mean, that's what it all it is. And so really, Lashley's the only, I mean, you have no logical explanation or no logical conclusion other than it has to be Rusev versus Lashley. That's ultimately the end game. But when you think about this logically, honestly, he should be more pissed at Lana and go, you know, F you, take your ring, shove it, I'm done with this. I mean, because he says she's being brainwashed. I don't know. This kind of stuff mirrors in real life, though. You have people who are angry at the person that you're being cheated on with, but not the actual person you're with. Oh, it's their fault. No, it takes two to tango. It's their decision, you know, so.
Which is fine. It makes sense. But again, that kind of ties back into what you said originally earlier, that they could have so built up to this point, you know, which would have just, like, it would have been wrapped up in a bow, like Bobby Lashley and Rusev finally facing off, you know, and to the one-on-one match whenever that ends up happening. So, that could have been a fun story, you know, for what it, you know, what it's worth. Like, it could have been much more entertaining or easier to follow and, like, believe, I guess.
Much more. They just gave us a book and go, skip chapters 1 to 10, just go to chapter 10 and start there. I mean, that's the way it was,
right.
and unfortunately it doesn't work that way. But again, this is kind of like, on a 1 to 10, I'm like a 4 on it, you know, as far as like, oh, I'll see what happens. I'm not going to turn away. I'm a little bit invested, but it's not the worst thing. The thing is, too, like, if you're a new wrestling fan, maybe you're looking at this either going, this is awful, or, wow, I've never seen anything like this. But if you know Vince McMahon, again, as the some of the angles we just pointed out, this is certainly nowhere near the bar that was set when those angles hit. So, alrighty. Well, moving on from this very crazy angle is, what is your take overall, and I'll let you decide where you want to go with this, for the SmackDown that was on last night and the invasion of NXT that... You know, whether it was actually designed to be this way, had the plane not had its, quote, mechanical issues, or whether it was, oh, man, we have half the crew over in Saudi Arabia still, and we need to get the Survivor Series matchups started up because NXT's now involved in this whole thing. How did you like the NXT involvement? Do you think it was well done? And what did you think?
Honestly, I think we probably would have gotten some mention of NXT or maybe like some type of video or maybe like a few seeds being planted on last night's show had the crew made it back in time. But I don't think we would have gotten the invasion angle this quickly. I think because they didn't even really hype. Unless I'm wrong or off with this one, first time I heard of NXT being involved in anything for Survivor Series was during Crown Jewel or maybe immediately right after. So, like I said, unless I was wrong, I don't think that they would have rushed it going straight into the invasion angle for last night's show if the crew didn't have mechanical issues or whatever the situation was. I did see a few things where the NXT guys didn't, their plane and they had travel issues or maybe not travel issues, but just with a short notice, like they didn't even arrive to the arena until 7:55, like 5 minutes before SmackDown started. So what if that's true or not, like if it is and even more power to them, but I enjoyed the show as a whole. I think it was very interesting to see the layout. Cause you can definitely tell that it was being run by different people. I enjoyed everything. And I think, I don't know how you feel about them, but I really enjoyed the commentary crew that they have with Pat McAfee, Renee Young, and Tom Phillips. I think they really stood out. And Pat was just amazing. Maybe I'm in the minority here, but I really dug him just calling the matches and just because he was exciting. You know, like you could really get that feeling of, man, like he's excited to be there. He really wants to be there and he's happy. Like, so it just ties you into the show more, and it just gives you that even more of an emotional attachment to it.
Yeah, and I would second that. I've never actually heard Pat before as far as, well, not with those three, and I've heard very limited before that. I mean, I would say Aiden English wasn't that great. I didn't really expect a whole lot from him. I hadn't seen him since he was with Rusev during the Rusev Day thing, and all of a sudden he's sitting there, and I'm like, whoa, all right, I guess he's doing commentary. And he was okay.
Doing commentary for 205.
Okay,
I know he was doing that. So like, I honestly, the only reason I know is because I went to a few shows when they were in the area. So obviously, and 205 was recorded right afterwards, so he came out. So that's the only reason I knew. But from what I've heard, he's okay, but not really my taste.
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, it's hard to judge from just a short span, short and small sample size. But I don't know. As far as the NXT thing goes, I honestly, it was a breath of fresh air. And maybe that's because it felt like an NXT show, and I don't know what that says about the typical SmackDown formula, but I enjoyed it from the fact of, okay, we get some new matchups. It was heavy focused on wrestling. Triple H's involvement, I actually enjoyed Triple H's involvement because he wasn't there in kind of this quasi...
And Shawn.
Shawn just really drove
it home, you know?
And I really love Sean's tease of when Triple H or Daniel Bryan challenged Triple H. And
I fell for it, dude. I kind of fell for it. I was like, no, they're not. Because I was like, dude, they feel guilty. They need to make it up to us. I was like, no, they're not.
And then Sean puts it on. He's like, oh, it's cold in here. I mean, that is just Sean's comedy at his best. Like, that is when Sean is Sean at the best. So I love it. I popped. I laughed. I'm like, he got me. Yeah, I'm like, the SOB got me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many times have we clamored and the rumor's been swirling about Daniel Bryan versus HBK? I mean, we've heard it through the years. So I'm like, hey, okay. Sean has already broken his promise to never come out of retirement at Crown Jewel last year. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, you've already broken the seal. Let's do this, you know?
Exactly.
So that's why I thought it was plausible. But he got us, and we got a Daniel Bryan Adam Cole match, which I think, like, it was awesome. You talk about wrestling. That's wrestling. That is what I would love to see on a weekly basis. That's what I love. This is what being a wrestling fan is all about, are matches like this. And I mean, if these two had an Iron Man match, like a true Iron Man match, which I don't think WWE's had in maybe 10 years plus, I'm talking true 60 minutes.
Right.
I can't even, it might have been Triple H and The Rock the last time I remember it one happening, but that is the match. This is what I'm talking about when we need quality wrestling, because people tune into a wrestling show to watch wrestling. And so that is what I love. Adam Cole certainly looked like he belonged. And what I loved about the whole night was that it made, and I'm going to use corporate language here, which makes me want to hate myself, but it really made the statement that the NXT is not the developmental brand, right? It made the statement that NXT is the true third brand, that it is not the developmental grounds like OVW, that they are a legitimate third brand of this company. And I guess I'm intrigued to see how Survivor Series pans out, because, and maybe I didn't get this right or I'm unclear, so maybe you can clear it up or maybe you can't, but is it SmackDown versus Raw versus NXT, or is it SmackDown and Raw versus NXT?
I honestly, I'm not sure. At first, I thought it was all three brands against each other, but then SmackDown kind of made me feel like it was NXT versus SmackDown and Raw, so I'm not sure.
And that's why I had mixed messages. I'm like,
I
don't know. So maybe that'll get clarified in the coming weeks. I mean, but typically I really, really, really dislike the Survivor Series pay-per-view because it's under the umbrella of the only time of the year that SmackDown and Raw come head-to-head, which I've made fun of through the years because it's just simply not true. It's just, it's a flat-out lie. I mean, you talk about throughout the entire year, the draft not being true to itself, the terrible wild card rule, the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. That's just flat on a lie. So the only thing that's saving me from destroying that whole lie is that it is NXT now involved, and to me that makes it really interesting. I mean, because how is NXT positioned? Are they just there to take the fall, or are they there to possibly win it? I mean, I would lean towards they're there to kind of take the fall, and they needed to just kind of be established as this strong brand. They need to make a huge impact right away and do a clean sweep on SmackDown, which they did. and then, you know, ultimately just have them lose at Survivor Series, which I could see Vince going and going, yeah, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not letting my two kids lose to this redheaded stepchild of NXT. I mean, I could see him coming up with that kind of thought process. So if I were to guess, NXT is probably there to take the fall at Survivor Series.
You know, if we were having this discussion last year, I would definitely side with you, but I have this weird thing inside of me that's just feeling like, first of all, Triple H isn't going to allow them to just get demolished or anything like that. I think NXT is actually going to pull it off, and I mean, it's way early for us to be making any type of like actual prediction, but at least as of right now, because honestly, SmackDown and Raw, like, if they take the loss, like, it doesn't really mean anything. But if you're going to make the statement and have NXT go either head on with SmackDown and Raw or face them both separately, however they end up having the match lay out, I think NXT has to take the win to prove to the mainstream audience, the people who don't really know, they know the name and they've heard of NXT, but they don't really have any type of care about it right now. I think they need to give NXT the edge here, and I think it needs to be strong. Yeah, maybe a few of the main roster, or not main roster, but like the SmackDown and Raw guys can show up on NXT for one show and that's it, maybe just to get some type of retribution. And again, I don't want that to become a thing, but it would only make sense at this point right now, since NXT invaded SmackDown, that SmackDown is going to win, at least get some type of vengeance. So I just think they have to give it to NXT, and not for nothing, for of course all of us to speculate too, because they want NXT to show dominance and look like the dominant brand, because, you know, they're facing AEW on Wednesdays, so just to even give it more kind of bragging rights without actually going out there and saying it. It's kind of like a subliminal type thing, but that's just my take on it.
Hey, listen, I am with you as far as who should win and what I would do. But my problem is Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
The whole thing is like, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I don't disagree that NXT should win, but the fact of the matter is Vince McMahon is standing in the way of this. I'm just thinking in Vince McMahon's mind what he's probably thinking. Triple H would probably disagree with Vince, but ultimately Vince is going to be Vince, and Vince does what Vince wants. That's my issue with this whole thing. But
yeah.
But I totally agree that it should be about the future. And Raw and SmackDown can absolutely absorb the loss. This is about building NXT. That's why I think, and again, we're getting like 3 weeks ahead of ourselves, but NXT should be the one that need momentum, and their ratings are dropping on a weekly basis. I mean, I think due to AEW, which are killing them every week, and partly due to maybe the product isn't what people want to see. And maybe that's kind of a combination of things. And so NXT needs that help right now in a big way. And the way to do it is put them on Survivor Series, one of the big four pay-per-views, have them win the match. Raw and SmackDown will be just fine, I promise. And NXT will gain way more than either Raw or SmackDown would from winning. Because does anybody even care? Has anybody kept score? What is on the line for Raw and SmackDown?
Right.
Zero. Nothing. Nothing at all. NXT has a lot to gain for the first time in how many years they've been doing this silly SmackDown versus Raw thing, and now NXT's involved. NXT needs the help. This is a true reason to have them win, not just, oh, bragging rights for Raw or SmackDown. So I'm totally on board for NXT winning, and they should if I were in charge.
Yeah, and kind of to get back to what you had originally, well, let's start this portion of our conversation, the whole Daniel Bryan and Adam Cole match, it was so beautiful. Like, it was just like you could see the start, the beginning, the middle, and the end, but it wasn't obvious. Like, you obviously knew, like, the WWE formula when the commercial breaks are, but, like, it wasn't like a, oh, they're going to the outside of the ring, like, here comes the commercial. Like, it didn't feel like a regular SmackDown night. Like, it just didn't feel like a regular, it felt like an NXT on a Friday night show. And just the thought and just seeing who all was out there in that main event, man, you had Daniel Bryan versus Adam Cole. Daniel Bryan was trained by Shawn Michaels, who was sitting ringside, who's at the very moment training Adam Cole and being his guide and being it so heavily involved in NXT, man. Just imagine if we could get a full-fledged feud and story out of them. Since NXT became an actual show on USA, I didn't really want any of the, I don't want, don't want to say main roster, but like any of the Raw or SmackDown guys to move over to NXT. I think Finn Balor's a good fit, but man, if I could just pluck one guy, I would totally send Daniel Bryan to NXT. I just feel like he would be just the perfect fit. And to, I don't know if you start him right off with Cole or have them, you know, acknowledge the great match that they had, just kind of like show mutual respect and then move on. But of course, that's getting way ahead of anything that's actually plausible at this point. But just seeing that main event and just seeing how good of a match it was and just how simple it was, they just went out there and wrestled and told a story. It just showed you and kind of reminded you, like, man, when WWE tries or when, you know, maybe when they don't try, it's just what they can do. And it just makes you love wrestling even more. And just the art form itself, it's just, it was crazy.
See, that's the key word. It's an art. They painted a really beautiful picture on Friday.
With like, no build, no story. And that was the other thing. Daniel Bryan wanting to challenge for the NXT title showed in that minute promo segment, whatever it was backstage, him wanting to face Adam Cole for the NXT title. And Daniel Bryan, of course, I guess you can say that he was in NXT, but of course it wasn't the NXT that we know now. It was that weird partner with a veteran type thing that more, it was kind of more, you remember, right? It resembled like a game show or whatever.
Yes.
So I guess you could say he was, but nothing like compared to what it is now, but just imagine if they had the opportunity to just go down there and actually build a story and just play it all out. Like it would just be, you couldn't turn away.
No, you could. And like you said, oh my God, I remember when they were running around the ring, timing each other. It was eye rolling terrible.
Yeah,
stuff.
With the barrels and
oh,
stuff.
Oh God, yeah, it
was horrible.
That you talk about. I mean, even watching that now, but to think about where they came from to where they are now is pretty cool. And
yes.
Having Daniel Bryan in NXT, I never really thought about that, but him being NXT champion, I don't know if. My concern would be if you start inserting any stars that are already established on Raw and SmackDown into NXT. NXT and its fans, its core, hardcore fans, its true fans, whatever you want to label them, I think may resent that in that NXT feels like its own world. Like, hey, this is pro wrestling. I don't need any of the sports entertainers that are from Raw and SmackDown. This is our own world. Leave us alone. You know, we are not a developmental ground anymore, even though some, and probably it'll take time for most fans to really take that out of their minds and re-educate themselves that, hey, this is not just, oh, well, they lost the NXT championship. They're coming to Raw. They're coming to SmackDown. Who's coming up? Who's coming up? And instead of that mentality, it's going to take a while for people to realize, what about going the other way? I mean, again, we saw it with Finn Balor, and in that case, I think that's more the exception than the rule. He's a great fit there. And boy, did he make news with his heel turn. And that, I mean, I'm sure you saw the kick.
Oh,
around
yes.
The world.
Beautifully
executed.
Perfect.
Completely out of nowhere. I didn't see it coming. I mean, the way he did it, brilliant. So, I mean, he's the exception than the rule. But Brian, I think Brian would be a good fit as well. But when you, if you start doing it on a semi-regular basis, it may just start to feel like, oh, well, this is kind of Raw or SmackDown light. It's not really NXT anymore. It may water down what NXT was built on, would be my fear. But again, I love it. I back to this match, as I'm trying to circle back, the Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan match, amazing. Even the Miz and Tommaso Ciampa match, I really enjoyed that one. Not as much as Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan, but certainly I enjoyed what they did. I enjoyed Tommaso Ciampa's promo. He felt very natural. He felt like he belonged. And for those who haven't seen him before, I mean, this was a treat. And there are people who certainly have not seen him before. If people don't follow NXT, I think it was a good debut. You had to have him when you honestly had to have every NXT person come and win. You could not have anybody from NXT come and lose a match or you know, get the snot beat out of him. You had to have them win. So Tommaso Ciampa, I enjoyed him as well. What did you think about this match with The Miz?
Oh, I enjoyed it so much as well. And I think WWE got lucky in the sense of who ended up being able to make the show for SmackDown roster side. You had Sami Zayn, you had The Miz, and Daniel Bryan being the key factors there. And of course, you know, you started the show off with Brock and Lesnar, or I'm sorry, Brock and Heyman. But man, they couldn't have gotten luckier in the sense of three wrestlers to get stuck with, you know, to kind of like brace your show out and kind of like the beginning, middle, and the end, kind of, if you lay it out that way. So I think The Miz here was perfect for Ciampa. He was perfect in the sense that you could get that promo out of Ciampa. And I've always enjoyed him on the mic, but I'm sure he had to be nervous being such last minute, you know, not really having any time to prepare and just being on live TV. Like, I'm sure it was, you know, I could not imagine being in any of their shoes for that situation, but I think he did so well. I was really into it. And The Miz was just, like I said, the perfect, in my opinion, the perfect opponent for Tommaso to go out there and just square off against promo wise and ring wise. I think they had a really good match, and I'm just so happy that Ciampa was able to come back in such short time. I think it was 7 months since he went out and had his surgery and his recovery, and he's back, and just being able to experience the rise and the popularity of NXT and just being able to be involved and actually wrestling, and just I'm happy for him. He's just one of those guys that you just, it's a feel-good story. No, it's just one of those guys you have, it's not hard to get behind at all.
No, it's not. And again, I really am very curious as to if the flight had not been whatever, again, I don't know, would this have still happened? I mean, I know you alluded to, I don't know, it probably would have been a mention here and there, but maybe not a full-fledged invasion, which this was pretty damn close to. And I tend to agree with that. But I think, again, if this was all, you know, out of the plan, and this really wasn't supposed to happen, and they're not BSing us that it was just the gods of wrestling kept every, you know, half the roster in Saudi Arabia, and we have to fill it with NXT guys, this was the best thing that could have happened to SmackDown. It felt refreshed. It felt new. And yeah, you can't have a new feeling every week. And that's not honestly what's wrong with wrestling in 2019, is we need new matchups. We need fresh matchups. That's really not. But in this case, this felt like a much different show. I just took a deep breath. I'm like, it just was really nice to see. And so even Rhea Ripley and Tegan Nox, when they faced off against Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, I even enjoyed that. And how
did you see
they
that
won.
Kick to Renee Young's face?
When she got sent over the desk, and
yes.
Renee took it right to the face.
Dude,
she
like
mentioned
a
it
champ.
On the air. Yeah,
yeah.
Boy, she took it like a champ. But boy, yeah, she got knocked pretty good.
Oh my gosh, she did. And real quick before we move on, it was kind of curious and interesting to me, rather, who didn't show up. I keep wanting to say tonight, but last night, being Velveteen Dream and Johnny Gargano. I'm kind of curious. I mean, of course, it just could be something simple. They couldn't make the short notice or whatever it is, or it could have been strategic, but I don't know, especially like a Velveteen Dream. Like, he is just such a character in and of himself. Like, he is one of those guys that grabs your attention the second you see him. So, and I was curious as for his absence, I guess, and why he didn't show
anything.
Up.
I honestly didn't hear anything. I mean, boy,
and it could be nothing, but I'm not implying one way or another, but it just, you know, they had how many people show up, and he just, him and Johnny weren't part of the group.
No, they weren't. I don't know. Anything we say is going to be speculation.
If I was
a gun to my head, I'd say it was strategic, but I don't know. I don't know, but certainly I would love to see some guys on the roster square up with Johnny Gargano as well. I mean, like, there are some guys that I would love to see, and this is what I love. Like, this is what I love when there's a true brand split, is that you make these fantasy matchups and dream matchups in your mind, and it's amazing what happens in the anticipation that can be built organically when you have a true brand split and not Vince McMahon's watered down version of, well, we'll kind of do it, and then there's the wild card rule, and then somebody will show up unannounced, and then there's Survivor Series, which completely negates the entire roster split, of which that has already blown itself up, and Brock goes, hey, I'm going to quit, instead of saying, oh yeah, Survivor Series is coming up, let me challenge Ray, because apparently Vince said that only contractually obligated superstars can face the opponents on their brand. Oh yeah, except for Survivor Series, Brock and Heyman. I mean, like, there are just so many things that Vince doesn't understand about the benefits of keeping a true brand split. So, like I said, with NXT, though, circling back, NXT is its own world, and that's why it feels so special when they come up. It felt so special when we had the Nexus come in and the true invasion that happened at the end of Raw a number of years ago, when NXT was still in its infancy stages. But that felt special because they were so new. They truly felt like they were not a part of this company or this part of this brand, and that's what I love.
Yeah, Could not have said it better myself.
Well, if you can't say it better yourself, then we'll move on. I only have I have a couple other things, but Becky and Kairi Sane for Monday Night Raw. I wanted to just quickly touch on it with you. Is Kairi Sane and Becky Lynch? I know it felt like a million years ago with Monday Night Raw, but that match was awesome. I really, really enjoyed that match. It felt like these two need to have a program down the line. I understand the Kabuki Warriors are now heel and they're a tag team, so we probably won't get a one-on-one with Kairi and Becky Lynch. But I think, number one, the Kabuki Warriors, I'm really starting to enjoy what they're doing with the Green Mist, although Paige could have probably sold it a little better on Raw, which was not good. I mean, she was basically, you know, crying for water, of which nobody could find her water anywhere. And then they give her water and it's like this quick dab on a towel. And then she's not even putting it on her eyes. I mean, so her acting was a little off. It wasn't great. I mean, the food coloring, I mean, you could at least fake it a little bit more. But I like the Kabuki Warriors, what they've done. They've certainly become more relevant. And again, that match with Becky Lynch and Kairi Sane, I loved it. It was an awesome way to start off Raw. On Monday night.
It definitely was. And again, like, that just shows, like, if you just let them go out there and just put on a good wrestling match, like, you don't need much of a story. But in the same token, imagine if you did start a storyline and you did start a feud with Becky and Kairi, like, it just writes itself. Like, I just, especially now with the heel, like you said, the heel turn and that route that they're going, I'm very intrigued. And I honestly thought that they were going to lose the tag titles when they were defending them on NXT against Tegan Nox and Dakota Kai, I think it was. But they obviously didn't. They retained. So I'm interested to see who they face off against next. Because, like you said, I would love to see her and Becky just start like an actual feud. And I love what they're doing with the Mist. And I like, you know, it's kind of crazy to see the differences between show and show, because, like you had mentioned, Paige on Raw, yeah, it probably wasn't the best route that she went with. But then you see the kind of a similar thing on NXT where they sprayed the Mist, but they made effort to cover it up, and because it could have been used as a disqualification. So when she went for the cover, she made sure to cover, I think it was Dakota's face, so the referee couldn't see the Mist, and she actually sold the Mist when she got sprayed in the face with it. She rolled over and tried to cover her face because she was selling it as she was blinded and she couldn't see, which is pretty much the whole point of it. So it's just amazing to see how the same thing pretty much can be completely different within 2 days. So that was kind of like a fun little twist on it. But I'm just happy again, like, that they, to kind of like what we said with World, with what I said about Lashley and Rusev, that they're actually doing something substantial with Asuka and Kairi Sane. So I hope they keep going forward with them strong and keep this heel side up. I think this has a lot of promise.
Yes, they feel more relevant than they ever have. With
yeah,
Paige,
which is so sad to say. Yeah. I'm sorry about Asuka. No, no. Like, she's so talented. So, I mean, I would love to see her as a singles wrestler, but I'm enjoying what she's doing right now as well. So I'm just happy that she's being used as she should be.
Yes, that's the thing. I mean, I don't even want to get started on the underuse and underutilization of her, but yeah, the fact that Paige was even involved with them, no one ever explained, and she comes out and says, even if I was a small part of it, like, you were no part of this. I mean, like, there was never an explanation as to why you brought these two together at all. You were an absentee manager that showed up, you know, 10% of the time, and I'm glad that they sprayed mist in your face to dump you because you had nothing to do with anything. But I'm glad they at least tied up that loose end. I mean, I appreciate that. So that was a good thing. You know, like, that could have easily been something that just nobody remembers or cares. They firmly established that as not just heels, but also wrapped up them as Paige as their manager, which, again, she was an absentee manager. So the last thing I wanted to talk to you about is Bayley and Nikki Cross, as we're on the women's division here. And just Bayley in general. I mean, we had a Nikki Cross and Bayley women's championship match as Bayley retained. What do you think about Bayley's turn, her run as a champion, and her assimilation with Sasha Banks, kind of as a whole?
You know, I'm very intrigued by it, and I'm kind of surprised with she kind of feels like it's a slow burn right now. Like, it started off with Sasha coming back and her supporting Sasha, but at first she was kind of like, you know, just kind of like not ignoring it, but just kind of playing it up like, oh, come on, you guys, I'm still the same Bailey. But obviously when she destroyed the Bailey buddies and cut her hair, you know, had the drastic change, this is the new side of Bailey, and this is such a complete opposite of what we all knew her to be. So I'm just enjoying the slow burn to this. And it's also interesting to me that she is kind of, in my opinion, at least standing out more so than Sasha Banks right now. I was kind of concerned with them both being on the same show and with how hot Sasha was, that she was going to be overshadowed by Sasha. But she at least has it right now. And again, in my opinion, Bailey's kind of running it. And Bailey is the measuring stick on SmackDown right now. So I'm digging what they're doing with her. I'm curious to see what they do with her as well going forward, and who her next feud is going to be, because she obviously just beat Nikki, so I don't really know who she's going to face off against next. But she could be, you know, she could kind of drag it out too. Like, she can maybe just come out for a week or two and not really maybe feud with anyone and just kind of brag about being champion or do whatever. But I'm just into the Survivor Series, because that's kind of the thing right now. We don't really know what route they're going to go with Survivor Series, with the champions at least. So we don't know if it's going to be like each brand's champion faces off or whatever. So we can't really get too far into that. But at least as of right now with Bailey, like, I'm digging it. And just how cocky she is, but not like overly cocky and not being loud and obnoxious, just being kind of chill about it, but, you know, still being arrogant.
Yep. I look, Bailey has been a character. I mean, everybody knows. I've been asking for her to go heel for probably a year or more. I would love to have seen it. Now we're getting it. And to your point, I think I'm intrigued too. The slow burn is what happened, and now that she has fully turned, she's made the full turn. I need follow up. I mean, she was hot when she turned, just like Sasha was hot when she turned. But the mistake that WWE made was not following up. They just kind of let her sway in the breeze of, okay, we made the turn, now just kind of be there. I need, like, continue it. And they don't have her get a lot of mic time, and she's not really cheating to win per se. I need Bailey to do something evil. I need her to really do something that makes me angry. And right now, I love the hair. I love her new attitude. I love everything about it, because I'm like, yes, finally. And I want to feel heel heat for her, and I don't yet. Again, I totally am on board with what they're doing and what they've done. But for her to be a true heel, we need follow-up. And just instead of having her coming out every week, we make an entrance, we have a match, and we leave. We make an entrance, we have a match, and we leave. There needs to be follow-up, and I think that's kind of been a nagging issue with WWE. They make these turns, and then there's no follow-up. It's just, they go, well, they made the turn, everything will work out. No, that's not how things work. So I need, for this to be a true success, I need her to just be nasty, evil, dastardly, borderline PG. I mean, I need her to do stuff that makes me really angry, and I haven't felt that yet. I just think I'm like, hey, finally. All right, now let's get to the heel part. Let's get to the anger part. Nikki Cross, I think, is probably going to go away. As you said, Nikki Cross, I think, is done, as she probably should be. I have nothing against Nikki Cross, but hey, it's time to move on from this. I don't know where Alexa Bliss is. She's kind of MIA. I don't know. Maybe she'll go back to tagging with her. But right now, it's about Bailey. It's about Sasha. I just need them to maybe have mic time, something like that. But overall, hey, I give WWE an A+ for finally pulling the trigger on this.
Yeah, and I think two other quick things about Bailey and Sasha. I think for both of them, especially Sasha, maybe more so than Bailey, I think they can throw them on at any time and give them a 5-minute promo segment, whatever the case may be, and just have them go on there and just complain about something and just sell whatever, you know, the situation is at the time. And they could do it. Like, they could grip you and kind of bring you back into, like, disliking them at that time. So I think with Sasha's mic skills, like, they can save it. But yeah, like, she's kind of just died out within the past couple months, which is such a shame with how hot she was when she came back. But I think with Bailey too, last thing about Bailey real quick, at least from my end, to me, she kind of mirrors Charlotte Flair in a way that they're both so good in the ring. like, if Bailey's going to be, like, a true heel, like, when what you said kind of made me, like, think about this. She has to do, she has to cheat. Like, she has to do something that just pisses me off. And, like, man, like, I know she's that good, but, and that's the thing. Like, that's another reason why we can be mad at her. Like, we know that she can win the match just with her pure ability to go in the ring, but she cheats to win. She, you know, hits with the chair or just whatever, you know, some, whatever way that she goes about cheating, just something just to make us dislike her more, because she, in my opinion, is just really solid in the ring. And just seeing even her match with Nikki, like, it was a good match, and just seeing her go out there and put on a good match, it's like, man, well, I gotta respect her, because she, you know, like, look how good she is, you know. So I don't think that helps her heel side right now.
No, it doesn't, it doesn't. But right now, Bailey, like you said, I don't need to see her cheat to win every match.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, but her goal,
but just
as
like
a heel,
that edge.
Yeah, as a heel, your goal should be, I don't care how good of a match I put on, it should just be, I'll do anything
right
to win.
She doesn't.
Anything.
She shouldn't want to put on a good match right now. No. Like, she should want to get in, win the match as quick as possible, so she can get back and leave. You know.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. And you know, it's just say, hey, look, I don't get paid by the hour here.
Right.
I'm here to just win and get the hell out of here. I don't care how I have to do it. Anything, you know, I need to do goes. And that's the should be the mentality of a heel. And, you know, unfortunately, more often than not, it's not the case. And as you said, Sasha has been just silent. I mean, mute for weeks now. And I don't like that.
Which is so weird.
Man. She came back. She was, you know, for a couple of weeks, she was the talk of Raw. She was hot. The blue hair said it all. You know, Bailey and Sasha are changing their hair, and I need it to be worth something here, especially Bailey chopping off her hair. She's probably like, hey,
yeah,
this better be worth it. You know, like, I had all my hair, and, you know, now it's gone. I need to make this, you know, I need to have my, get my money's worth. And I don't know, and I hope she does, and I think she will. There's still, you know, I don't think it's completely petered out. I don't think that,
yeah,
Bailey and Sasha completely petered out, but the flame's not as hot. It's just kind of like, it's warm, like, you know, you're still keeping my hands warm, but you're not setting the, you know, the place on fire. And I think both women could do it. They just need something to sink their teeth into, other than just kind of like, you know, match, come back. Like, I just need a storyline of substance where they can show their true heel colors, show their true personalities, and get underneath the skin of fans. And they haven't had that yet, but I'll be hopeful. How about that?
I couldn't agree with you more.
All right. Well, Ashley, is there, boy, I had all my notes, and I think I've checked boxed all my notes here. Was there something that I missed that you wanted to discuss?
Gosh, no, I don't think so. I feel like we covered everything for the most part. I mean, of course, you could dissect any little thing for hours,
yeah,
but I,
yeah,
think
when,
for the
when
most
you say
part,
everything, I'm like, well,
I'm sure we missed stuff, but, you know, the, yeah, the main things,
yes,
at least.
Yes. Definitely. The wrestling is something that it's just, I mean, you could go on for hours and hours,
yeah,
and hours. But, and don't worry, guys, we all get a extra hour of sleep tonight.
Right.
Unless you have kids, of which, hey, you're just getting up an hour early. Everybody out there that has young children, as I do, this means nothing. This means nothing other than just I get up at probably 4:30 a.m. instead of 5:30. So that's what that means. So
sorry.
No,
sorry,
hey,
it's
that's
rough.
All right. It, you know, that's just life. I mean, that's just what it is. It, you know, people say, oh, it'll change your life, everything. You know, I never really truly understood that. I mean, you going to the bathroom is a luxury. Like, taking a long shower. I mean, just like milking the minutes you're in the shower are a luxury. Just like little things that you just totally take for granted when you're either single or you don't have kids or whatever. Man, it's, I mean, no, I'm not complaining. I mean, it's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever, but holy sh, you know what?
Yeah.
It like every,
so that it's true.
Every
all the hype.
Minute. All the hype. The hype is, yeah, I'm not, you know, Goldberg, you know, believe the hype, right? Like, so it, yeah, every facet of every minute of everything that you do in your life is now like, it's minute by minute. What do I need to do? Where is he? What do I need? Does he have to poop? Is he got to eat? I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. But, so, yeah, so there have been times that I actually, not during this podcast, when I've ever talked to a co-host, but there was a podcast I did, I don't think I ever said this, a couple of months ago that I did, I don't know if it was a Raw or SmackDown review, that I actually fell asleep, like, while recording it. Like, I
oh,
actually,
that's
like,
so
I
great.
Was talking and, like, I fell asleep. And I woke back up and it was like 10 minutes later and there was just 10 minutes of dead air. And I'm like, should I air this? Like, would people just be like, what the hell happened?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that
dude,
actually
happened.
So
awesome.
That's a real thing. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to talk about Rob. And then it just boom, like out. And so, yeah. So it's happened.
Man.
But yeah. Anyway. All right, Ashley. Well, thanks so much for coming on as always. But before you go, let everybody know not just where they can find you on social media, but also the podcast that you do beyond this one.
Oh, right on. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at ASHMANNS. Feel free to give me a follow. Let me know what's going on. What if you agree with me, disagree, what do you think of the shows, all that good stuff. Definitely love just hearing different viewpoints and different opinions. And yeah, I do another show with a group of my friends around here. It's called Wrestle Rewind. We air every Thursday live on Facebook at 8:30. But you can definitely listen to the podcast, just the audio version on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff, pretty much immediately afterwards. So yeah, feel free to check us out.
Very good. Everyone check out Wrestle Rewind. And Ashley, as always, I really, really enjoy this. And I will see you in 3 weeks, which, wait a minute, is that going to be the month or the hold on. I'm trying to think of where that'll land in terms of Survivor Series. When is Survivor Series? 20?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to like gauge the next time that I'm going to be talking to you. Hold on. Let me Google it here.
That may be right before.
Survivor Series, it is, hold on, November 24th. So I will be talking to you the day before Survivor Series. So we'll have our predictions.
We'll get back to our routine.
Yeah.
Making the predictions.
That's honestly, yeah, that happened for like 3 months in a row. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we'll get back on track on the 23rd of November. So, alrighty, Ashley, thanks so much for joining us, and you have a good night.
Absolutely, you as well.
Bye.